give me a woo! Hey, of the team win right there. You talk about offense, defense, special teams, staying together, staying connected. Cannot say enough about Ramique Wilson. Forcing the fumble, and then, hey, you talk about situational football, 80 yards receiving and a touchdown, over 100 on the ground, knowing what to do in a Rolex situation, going down. Give it up for Todd Gurley, man. Hey, and what makes this special, all right, guy coming back, having a big contribution on defense, getting a conversion on a fake punt. Can't say enough about it. Sam Shields. Get a breakdown, Sam. Get a breakdown.
You got your team. Off-field Shields.
Here we go, Sam.
Let's go, baby. Rams on three. 1, 2, 3.
Rams. Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. Victory Monday, baby! Yes, we get it again, 8-0, and it tastes and feels so good. I've got my main man James Kroger with me, joining the show as Victory Monday tradition. James, welcome, and I hope we don't have to ever break this tradition. I'm just making it a thing that you're coming on for Victory Monday, and if we don't have Victory Monday, I don't know what we're gonna do, my man.
Woo! Dude, I am relieved. I'll tell you what. I know you've seen it over text today, but yeah, let's keep this Victory Monday thing going. And the way things are looking, as persistent as we've seen and as great the second half team looked, I think we're gonna be able to do that.
Yeah, we were talking a few weeks back. I think it was the Minnesota game. We really had a scare for a while. We said we're not mentally prepared to have an episode on Monday where we're not talking about a victory. So I'm glad it didn't happen today, because I was getting that feel for a little bit in the third when things were kind of a little ugly and things weren't going our way. But Sean McVay, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, that offense, special teams, everything turned around. Guys, before we get to the game, we're going to break down the whole game. We're going to give our game balls. We're going to do play action balls. We're going to talk about the offense and defense. But before we get there, make sure, go give me and James a follow at jkroger3, at Rams Podcast, at Lockdown Rams, at LA underscore Rambling Bear. Follow us on all accounts, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Facebook groups. I talked to you guys about the giveaway I'm doing. We got two tickets we're giving away to the Rams-Seahawks game, which is the next home game. Obviously, we have the next one in New Orleans. But enter on any of those accounts for Lockdown Rams to win two tickets to that next home game. It's going to be a goodie. You can also find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, as well as Rams Podcast. We're going to be dropping another one of those in a couple days, probably on Wednesday, kind of unraveling this whole game, talking about it, and then moving forward. But here on Locked On Rams, we got 5 days. Today is James Kroger. Tomorrow we're hitting some pro football focus stats. We'll probably get some quote from the guys. Wednesday's our crossover show. Thursday we got Vinny Bonsignor, and then Serena Morales, Hype Edition, and we're back to playing football. I'm excited to have James here today. We're going to unravel some things. We're going to talk about this game. James, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, but I was waiting for your text right when the Packers went up 7-0. I was like, I can only imagine James freaking out right now. His blood just boiling, going, what's going on? Our offense was so slow to start the game. Obviously, we finished out that first half with a big play by getting that safety coming down, scoring, went in with some momentum. And then the second half really kind of, it felt like it kind of played into McVay a little bit. But talk to me about the game, your emotions through it, and how this was a tough-fought win for the Los Angeles Rams.
Well, Barry, it was certainly a tale of two halves, because we were looking pretty scary at home in the beginning of the game. And then in the second half of the game, we stayed persistent and really pulled through at the end. But, yeah, you talked about me not texting you. I was just telling myself, keep cool, let's be patient. I have to say that stadium looks probably the most filled I've ever seen.
Right.
And it was a large mix of Green Bay Packer fans there. I saw Aaron Rodgers multiple times trying to get the crowd going if he was at home. He was also able to, when he was on offense, it was quiet enough for him to be able to call audibles and speak to his team. So that was a big thing at a stadium that fits. I know it fits 90,000, but I don't know what the actual attendance was for this last game, but it's a loud place. And there's plenty of noise from everybody who was a Packers fan in town. But dude, like I said, we started off after both teams punted to start off. Aaron Rodgers completed a 48-yard pass to Davante Adams on a 3rd and 5 to get us to the LA 22. And from there on, it just seemed like we couldn't stop him in our secondary. Our rush D was hurting a bit. We were getting to Aaron Rodgers, but it just wasn't enough to stop him. So, yeah, man, very frustrating start of the half. And I'm actually surprised I didn't text you more, but I wanted to save it for later in the game. You know, so I was like, cool yourself. Keep your emotions down.
Well, you talked about that crowd today, very Packer heavy. And the funny thing is, you know, people around the league were kind of giving the Rams crap and have been giving LA crap for having visitors teams come in and take over. Transplant City, Packers travel well. McVay and Goff talked about it in the presser after the game. They said they knew what they were kind of getting into, but they loved the energy, whether it was loud for them or against them. They just take that as a big game. I think this is actually going to be good for us moving forward. We talked about that Mexico City game where it's going to be a neutral site. You're going to have a lot of noise both sides. I think it's definitely advantage. There were 75,800 at the game today, so just under 76,000. Amazing turnout. You're right. It was packed. It was really loud for us on third downs. And then when Aaron Rodgers was up, you talked about it. He was able to do like aggressive snap counts and try to draw us off sides. Actually really want to give credit to the defense for not jumping today because there were plenty of opportunities, and Aaron Rodgers is one of those wily veterans who's really good at using the snap count. So he came up a couple times, whether it was early in the game or late in the game, and whether it was second down or third down, he was mixing in that snap count and really trying to draw him off, but no one bought it. I was really proud of that defense for that. And we can talk about really all three phases of this team and how well they did, because each phase kind of had their moment in the game to step up and go, you know, tip the cap to us because we're helping out right now. Special teams with the Johnny Hecker punt and Sam Shields putting it down. Obviously, the defense getting that safety. Todd Gurley just producing offense when we needed it, whether it was on the ground.
Ramique Wilson
closing the game. There was just so many great plays. I want to unpack them a little bit. We'll start with the offense. We were on the defense last week, but Todd Gurley had 25 carries. He breaks the 100-yard mark, had 114 yards, and then through the air, 6 catches on 7 targets, 81 yards, and that 32-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff. Gurley now 15th touchdown of the year, 11 straight games. It's his 50th career touchdown, which now also puts him in elite category of only 5 running backs before the age of 25 with 50 touchdowns. Talk to me about who really stood out for you on the offense side of the ball and what got this done in the second half.
All right, Bear, so you talked about those Todd Gurley touchdowns, and man, a lot of fantasy owners out there are probably a little pissed off because at the end, he almost had another one for everybody, but decided to make a smart move for the team, me, and just let the time run out because you never want to give Aaron Rodgers any time. And that was smart on Todd Gurley, but a lot of his fantasy players, I'm sure, were hurting out there. I want to get back to Todd Gurley, but before that, you also talked about third down conversions. Well, we had a hard time, dude, in the first half with third down conversions. We started out 2 for 8 on third downs. Jared Goff took a sack on 3 consecutive third downs to end drives. And then Todd Gurley was stuffed on 3rd and 1 for a 2-yard loss just under 9 minutes remaining. Then, obviously, we saw Johnny Hecker come out, again, special teams, and do the fake punt with a 12-yard pass to Sam Shields. Kind of thought the momentum would change after that. But, of course, we couldn't do anything due to that. But back to Todd Gurley, man, he really stepped it up in the second half. The one play, man, did you happen to see that juggling catch of his for 32 yards? Because this happened right after Cooks had an amazing catch right off the ground, got it overturned, and then we see Todd Gurley with the crazy concentration to gain 32 yards. I knew he had it from the beginning, but that was within inches. He just screams reliable.
Yeah, it was crazy because they needed a booth review for that. They called it incomplete, and I was yelling at the TV going, like, throw the flag. And I look at the time. I'm like, wait, we can't throw the flag. It was under 2 minutes. Thankfully, the booth comes in, saves the day as they break that thing down. I mean, just he bobbles it for half a second, but just in time, gets it under control to get those 2 feet down. Incredible play by Todd Gurley. And I think that's really goes what into the MVP talk that me and you have been going back and forth on the side about with this guy, is that not only can he do it on the ground, and he gained over 100 yards again, but through the air, you know, 6 targets, that amazing one down the side. He's a great catcher. He's just an overall, he's what we like to call a football player. He's a football dude. He can do it all. He can block. He picked up some of those blitzes that the Packers were sending our way that made it so difficult on Goff on third down. But as you talk about third down, I'm kind of looking right now. Green Bay Packers were 2 of 9 on third down. So you got to give credit to our defense as you're looking at only giving up 10 points in the first half to Aaron Rodgers. And then as you want to really turn the page, we go and outscore them in the second half as well, only holding them to 7 fourth quarter points. I know Aaron Rodgers didn't get that last crack at it, but that is Aaron Rodgers' quarter, right? If you told me before this game started and said the Rams are going to hold the Green Bay Packers to 7 points in the fourth quarter, I tell you, I feel like we had a pretty good shot to win that game, because that is when Aaron Rodgers is most dangerous and feels extremely comfortable. They had the ball with 7 minutes to go, I think it was, with a 1-point lead. They had a chance to really, you know, win this thing by just putting a drive together. But what did our defense go out there and do? Went out there, first down, incomplete pass, put some pressure on Aaron Rodgers with a blitz off the edge. He had to throw it in the dirt. Next thing you know, short run goes nowhere, and we get him to punt after third down. So those type of plays were really big for the Rams on coming out of this. I know some people are going to look and go, oh, they got lucky with a fumble at the end. You know, you just assume Aaron Rodgers is going to go down and score. But that's what goes back to the three phases of football and what McVay, you know, harps upon. And what he kind of said in his post-game speech that we played right before this in the intro was he kind of came in and said, that is a complete game. You know, he gave game balls out to Sam Shields, also to Ramique Wilson, who you had mentioned earlier in the show with that big play, that big fumble at the end. And then obviously Todd Gurley for just dominating. That very, very smart call that you talked about, that, yeah, some fantasy owners are going to, man, I want that extra points. But as a team, you said it best. To not have to give Aaron Rodgers the ball back at the end there, it was so great. Jared Goff said in the press conference afterwards that McVay kind of channeled in when through the mic and said, hey, if we, you know, let him know to get down if we have a scoring opportunity, which is crazy because that was a third down and long. We run it. It was a great run, and he did have a scoring opportunity. Went down, stayed in bounds. Next play, kneel, game's over. We're 8-0. Those are the type of things that you look back at when you're looking at undefeated and you ask, why are we undefeated? It's the small things that go so far, and that is one of them, right?
Yeah, and making big plays. Back to Mr. Todd Gurley, Mr. MVP. Let's talk about his receiving, because he actually led the team for overall receiving yards with 81. He had just as many targets as our boy Robert Woods. Brandon Cook had 8 targets today with 3 receptions. I think before the game, he only had 6 receptions in the last 2 games or something like that. He's been pretty limited. But, dude, Todd Gurley also led our team in receiving yards along with 32, 6 receptions. And then on the ground, of course, he had 114 yards with a long of 23. So this guy is huge. And you talk about other people stepping it up. We were absent of Cooper Kupp when we were in that second, the end of the first half. I was thinking, man, we could use some Cooper Kupp action right now, some prime time route running to just help Jared Goff out with additional option. But who did we see step it up in the second half with 2 touchdowns? Mr. Josh Reynolds.
Man.
And, dude, I mean, in the beginning of the game, I was thinking, you know, Reynolds is no Kupp. But at the end of the game, this guy stepped it up and made big things happen.
Well, it made me think of you because you've said on the podcast, Reynolds is no Kupp, and he's not. He's not the route runner. He doesn't fit in that slot role, but he does come up with great hands when you need him. And Jared Goff looked to him. He ran a great route across the middle to get open on that second touchdown and then just found his way in. So, yes, huge game from him. Obviously, super productive in his attempts. He had 3 catches, 42 yards, and those 2 touchdowns we talked about in 5 targets. So, love to see him get going. Brandon Cooks was a little quiet today, even though he had 74 yards, 3 catches on 8 attempts. We were really trying to get him going, but they played great defense. The Packers, I got to give a lot of credit to them. The Rams, you know, we put up 29 points, and it was a struggle. I mean, that first half to get anything going was a struggle, but that was more credit to the Green Bay Packers. Every time you saw a route run, you talk about guys like Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks that run amazing routes, their guys were just all over them. They had 8 DBs back there at some time, so there was really nowhere to throw, but we found out a way to figure them out and kind of move the football down the field. But what we're going to do, James, we're going to step aside real quick. We're going to get a word from our sponsors. We're going to be back on the other side. We're going to talk some defense, talk some special teams, and wherever else we go, we may go. I'll be right back on the other side. Victory Monday with James Kroger. California, the blue side of party.
All right, before we get into that next segment, I want to talk to you about one of our newest partners. Super excited about them, Metro Infinity, 821 Central Ave, Monrovia, California, just off of the 210 in Monrovia. They are the must-go-to place. James, I know you just got a truck, but I wish, you know, you got a baby on the way. We might need to get you into a brand new Infinity. I know the guy. The deal is, if you say Locked On, they're going to get you $500 off. They've got amazing deals going on right now. You got to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of new and used Infinities. They are the only dealer in California that is family-owned and has been in business for 25 years. They're the number one volume dealer in California. This is my favorite part about them. They are kind of over the old school car deal feel, where, you know, you feel pressure. You got to be there for hours playing back and forth games. You leave out leaving mad, and then they come back and go, well, here's your deal. Trust me, you're not going to get that here with these guys. Best thing I love is they'll take the deal to you. If you're at work or you're at your house or you want to go out and get some sun and say, hey, meet me down at the park, they're going to take the contract. They're going to take the car. They're going to bring it to you. They're going to let you do everything you need to get that signed right there. No problem. They got this. They are very professional, and they're all about you and the experience. So, obviously, without having to say it, but I'll say it, the bear stamp of approval.
Hey, man, hassle-free is the way to be. That's the best possible way to buy a car, and that's the way you got to do it these days. So it's so exciting to hear that they're willing to take customers like that.
You're right. That is the best. So if you're thinking about a new Infiniti or just even in the market for a brand new car, give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Tell them Bear sent you. You get an extra $500 off. You're welcome. I'm good for something around here. $500? It's got to be the best deal we've ever had. Check them out. Big fans of them. Metroinfinity.com. Promo code Locked On. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Victory Monday edition. I've got our boy, James Kroger, on the mic. We are talking instant recap of this game. It is Sunday night. The Sunday night football game is going behind us. If all things go well, I mean, I don't know who I'm really pulling for here. It's a very NFC-heavy matchup. We got the Vikings versus the Saints. Saints are who we play next week. So, James, once we get off here, we got to go start scouting, figuring out what we're going to do next week. But I almost kind of – I don't know how I want this to go, if I want the Saints to win and come in, you know, feeling good, or them to lose and then have to come back home and feel like they got to rebuild something. But either way, we've got a dynamite matchup next week down in the Superdome down in New Orleans. James, I want to flip the script, though. I want to get into that defense. We talked about some of the big plays. Nothing really fancy in the first half, but they really limited Aaron Rodgers and what he could do. They started by running the ball on us. Aaron Jones had 12 carries for 86 yards. We held him under 100, but as a team, they went for 106. But I still look at that as a victory. They started to run the ball early, and I thought that if they kept that a little bit more, they may have been able to work a little bit more with Aaron Rodgers. We started to figure him out. I mentioned they were 2 for 8 on third downs. But talk to me about this defense, how you felt throughout the game, when you felt like you counted on them, or when you got scared, because I know there's some concerns out there as well.
Oh, dude, I actually almost tweeted you before this and said, can we do complaint forms on the show tonight?
Oh, but, complaint forms,
After that hustle, I'm canceling the complaint forms, and we'll just talk. We'll do some real talk here. Because, yeah, dude, in the beginning of the show, we were getting rushed against – not the beginning of the show, the beginning of the game. We were getting rushed against – we continue to see Peters get burnt on that bump and run, and then it happened to Troy Hill and Peters again. But you consider somebody like Corey Littleton, because, dude, this guy is continuing. He led the team in tackles.
Yeah.
He's continuing to step it up, and I love this guy. 8 total tackles, 7 solo, 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, another QB hit. This guy's just in charge on the D, and he's really stepping it up this season. And speaking of in charge, of course, AD got the game ball from Coach McVay. 3 tackles, 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for loss. So in the second half, you knew that Sean McVay trusted in the defense late in the second half when he decided to run the ball on that third down and long to Todd Gurley when we knew we weren't going to get it. I was a little frustrated thinking, gosh, let's pass. Let's get some yards. We can make it happen. And I was like, I guess he's just totally having faith in this defense.
I love it.
Luckily, of course, it worked out on the special teams. But Yeah, man, even McVay at the end of the game when it was getting tight and we're running out of time. Good thing we got that first down as well. But he speaks by what he was doing and saying that we can trust in this defense towards the end of the game, and we absolutely were able to.
Yeah, people are going to get sick of me for saying three phases of football, everybody. There's three phases of football.
Jack said it to me twice today.
I did, and I loved it because you're talking about Sean McVay putting trust in his team. That's exactly it. That was a safe move. That penalty kind of backed us up, I think, is what kind of put us back there a little bit. Or Goff had an error. I can't remember what backed us up, but we created a long situation. It was third and long, and we went second down.
It was holding Saffold, yeah.
Yeah, so you're right. So we had holding. But put itself, we ran on second down, then we ran on third down. Very safe, but we got the field goal. We know we're in Greg the Leg territory. Went up, took the lead. And I think it's something we've been talking a lot about this team and the defense is they close so well. I mean, good luck blocking them in the first half. You got some energy. You feel good. You've been game planning all week. You're all fired up. Coach is telling you you're the best. But as this game wears on and you're getting tired and you're in the California sun and Aaron Donald is not getting tired and just pushing harder and harder and harder, and then you look over next to him and you're like, oh my god, they got Sue as well, and then Brockers is putting pressure on, and then Wade Phillips throws in a blitz with Littleton and whatnot. So I love the way that this defense can close a game. We mentioned, you know, Marcus Peters got beat on the outside again. He was trying to, you know, was being a little risky, went with the bump and run, as you mentioned, and he thought he got to move to the outside, took one step, and, you know, obviously gave Adams the inside. And then Troy Hill got burnt. But you know what? He rebounded. And in the fourth quarter, he made a couple plays that were really big. I think he knocked one out of Jimmy Graham's hand that would have been a first down late in the game. He really anticipated that one. So came up, made some tackles in the run. Again, you talked about Corey Littleton. I'm just jumping around on all these people as they're hitting my brain. Corey Littleton leads the team. 8 tackles, 7 solo. Mark Barron was flying around. So, yeah, there were some points where, you know, things could have been better. But Aaron Donald, you mentioned him, the freak, the guy that we're going to basically put the team on the back on the defense side of the ball. 5 straight games with a sack, 10 total for the season. You mentioned it last episode. 11 is when he won Defensive Player of the Year, and that's his career high. He's at 10 right now with 8 games to go. It's incredible. He's going to smash that record. 6 in the last 2 games as far as sacks go. Had another 4 quarterback hits. The guy's just a monster. He's impossible to block no matter how many people you put his way. I was really proud of this defense. I want to now kind of move on as we're talking people that impressed us. Special teams. I mean, we finally saw our fake Hecker punt. Well, you texted me right after it and said you saw it coming. Talk to me about that fake punt and then, you know, about this special teams in general.
Well, dude, I mean, we had punted 3 times previously before that. When the fourth one came out, I was just thinking, can we just try something, mix it up here, just make this a little more exciting, because offensively we haven't been doing crap. And dude, talk about quick release. Hecker grabbed that ball and just tossed it, and the guy was wide open. I can't remember.
Oh, Sam Shields.
Yeah. Sam Shields down for the first down. And I thought that gave us a little bit of momentum. But this special teams, I have to say, they're part of the reason we really had the nail in the coffin to win this game. Because, of course, at the end of the game, Ramiq Wilson with a turnover, that was huge. They continue to impress. The 3 phases, Bears' favorite word of the week. But yeah, man, all 3 sides, you just can't beat it. I do wish we had a little bit more yards on the punt kickoff return, but you know, these guys were tough there. But yeah, dude, these guys absolutely stepped it up, and it's nice to know that we can really rely on them if we need a turnover.
Yeah, Sam Shields deserves that game ball. Obviously, he was part of that first down conversion when Johnny Hecker, and you talked about it, it was a fast release, but watching it, he was so calm, cool, and collected. He took it. He faked the punt and then got it up. Nice little crisp throw. Easy first down. You talked about the momentum. I feel like we still got momentum from that play. But we came out, went 3 and out, and ended up punting it again. But we put him back there right up against the goal line. It was an amazing read by Sam Shields. I watched that play a handful of times. And whoever the gunner was on the left kind of lost it in the sun. And Sam Shields was tracking it from the right. And he kind of, I don't want to say he held up a little bit, but at one point you could see, oh crap, I'm the dude that's going to have to make this play. And he kicked it into gear, ran, and then tippy-toed down the line. You know, play later, 2 plays later, we get the safety, which ends up being the big turnaround right before half with that big momentum, which I think really we carried into the locker room. McVay and this staff are probably my favorite people ever, because adjustments that they make are just so incredible. You always feel confident. I think JB Long tweeted out, retweet if you're confident in McVay in the locker room right now making adjustments. being this close of a game, and I did. I was so confident in them coming out of half that we were going to kind of put something together. Unfortunately, we went 3 and out right out of half, and I was like, all right, well, maybe after this drive we'll get it together. But defensively, special teams, this was a legit team win. We obviously have some concerns still to look at, obviously, in the secondary. You're playing Aaron Rodgers. I was talking about this with Vinny Bonsignor. In today's NFL, you're going to give up big plays. You really just have to limit some of those plays, like where you get a tackle in the inside the red zone and then make them kick a field goal. Obviously, I know that we held them a couple times, but to keep Aaron Rodgers under 27 points ends up being a victory. You know, he goes 18 for 30. He didn't go over that 40 mark, which we talked about, which he had done forever, but he doesn't go over 300 yards. He only has one touchdown on the day. I think walking away, you got to look at that as a big, big win.
Well, I want to also give a shout out on top of Hecker's sweet pass to Sam Shields. This guy was on point today, man. He had 3 punts inside the 20, a long of 52. Just some beautiful punts. And he's basically the reason we were able to get that safety in the beginning of the game, because we held it to him on the one. So it's Hecker, when we need him, at the beginning of the game, after the third one, I was thinking, you know, Hecker, I love you, but I don't like seeing you this much. I haven't been used to seeing you this much in a while. So, you know, but the thing is, he's the best punter in the NFL right now, and we know that we can really rely on him, and he'll put us in positions to make big things happen on special teams.
Well, that's the funny thing about this team that I love is, like, we still have Johnny Hecker, who for the, you know, first 7 games basically has gone unnoticed because he's only punted 1 or 2 times a game. Until this game where he finally was used a lot. But you start to realize, oh yeah, he's a weapon too. You know, like that's a great thing to have in your pocket in a tight game, be able to switch the field, get somebody inside the 20, even hold people accountable as far as fake punts and things like that. That's always up the sleeve. And then same with Zuerlein. A couple weeks ago, you know, he's 3 for 3 in field goals, 4 for 4 in extra points. He comes up with the game-winning field goal in this one. A guy, and I think that goes into the play calling that you talked about, McVay. Not only safe to really trust the defense, but he's going, I got the number one leg in the game right now. We're inside of a 40-yard field goal. Let this guy do what he's best at in the NFL, and then trust my closer and Aaron Donald and Sue, that secondary, Corey Littleton, all those guys. So McVay, it makes his decisions a lot easier when you look around. You got some really good talent, and you're right. Special teams really came up. Johnny Hecker got to finally tip his cap today, and overall, great day from everyone. Obviously, Jared Goff said it in the press conference afterwards, we have some things we can improve on, which is like now so cliche for these guys to just go undefeated and to be like, well, we could always get better. And you're like, what? They can get better?
Hey, they didn't score over 30.
I know. And that's another thing that's great, is to know that we can play our game and score 40 points and win, which I feel like is more our style of ball, is up there, you know, putting up points. Or, you know, we're going to have a tough-nosed victory like this versus Green Bay where, you know, the first half, it's 8-10 at halftime. Like, everyone thought this big shootout, like, I thought it was going to be this score at halftime, what the final score ended up. So it's nice to know that we can play in an ugly game. We can play in an up-paced game. We can play in any type of situation. Our team can mold into that. But we're going to get into that a little bit more. We're going to talk game balls. We're going to give play action balls. We're going to do all that on the other side. I've got James Kroger from Rams Podcast with us. We'll be right back. Quick word from our sponsors. More of Victory Monday on the other side. All right, guys, before we get to our next segment, I want to talk to you about the coolest thing in movies in forever. We've all been to the movies, right? Cost a bunch of money. You go into this stuffy, crowded theater. Popcorn's $900. You may not even get a good movie. We are changing the way movies are done, and I have got the spot for you. It is called Rooftop Cinema Club, and it has landed on a rooftop near you. Come watch the latest releases and cult classics under the beautiful sky, movies by moonlight, breathtaking views, delicious cocktails, I'm in, and food, double sold, and help us put the celebration back into the cinema. Screenings in Hollywood, downtown LA, San Diego, Houston, New York, are on sale now at rooftopcinemaclub.com. Again, that's rooftopcinemaclub.com. And because they are fans of the show, they are hooking you guys up with an exclusive promo code that's LOCKEDON10. So make sure to visit the website, use the promo code. They'll also give you a full list of films and showtimes up there. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, at Rooftop Cinema Club, and on Twitter, at Rooftop Cinema for updates. They do a bunch of special nights, Q&As, photo ops. It's just a bunch of fun. It's really made the movie-going experience great again. So, guys, go check them out. Tell me what movie you're going to see. I'm looking to go get my experience here in LA. Let me know what you think. Let me know what movie you're seeing. RooftopCinemaClub.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Believe me, they are changing the way you watch movies. So go check it out on a rooftop near you. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. We've got the man, the myth, the Kroger with us, as usual, on another Victory Monday. We're going to kind of get into some game balls and play action balls. You guys know the drill. Game ball is pretty simple, just like McVay, you heard at the beginning of the show, giving out his game balls. We're going to tell you who we thought the best players of the game were, and then we're going to do our play action ball, the old, here's the ball, here's the game ball. Nope, we're going to pull it back, play action. You don't get it. Better luck next time. Every game has one, some tougher than others. I think this one we'll be able to find some people. But, James, you are the guest. I'll start with you. Why don't we start on game balls, and then we'll come back to the play action ball.
Okay. Well, I guess, I don't want to pull an obvious card here, but I'm going to have to give the game ball to somebody that we can continue to rely on when it's important. Somebody that can just push us right over the edge and make big things happen. The bobbling catch for 32 yards, leading the receiving squad with 81 yards. Mr. MVP Todd Gurley is going to get my game ball there. So, since I get to go first, I'm going to go with the easy pick.
No problem. That is very understandable. You talked about it. I mean, we said it earlier in the show, 11th straight game with a touchdown. That the last time that happened for the LA Rams was in 1951. Elroy Hirsch did it. So breaking records.
I remember that game.
Yeah, that was a good game. Yeah, it's crazy. This guy breaks records every time he steps on the field right now. He's having an unbelievable season. You talked about the catch on the sideline. So you know what? That's a good game ball, my man. Can't blame you for that one. And that's why you're the guest. I let you go first. I let you take the layup, man. Go for it. All right, James. Game ball for me. I know this is cheating, but it's my show, so I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to give it out to the unit. The special teams unit are coming in with the game ball. That consists of, obviously, JoJo Natts and Blake Countess, Greg Zuerlein, 2-for-2 in field goals, the 43 long, 7 points total on the day, 7 points we very much needed, including that final field goal to take the lead. Johnny Hecker, 7 punts, 316 yards in punts. You mentioned it earlier, 3 inside the 20, the 52-yard long, the fake to pick up a first down. It's got to be Sam Shields. He caught that pass. He was the one that downed the ball at the 1. I think really that was the turning point going into half. It was all set up by that punt and the downing of the ball by Sam Shields. So my game ball goes to that unit as a whole, because when we really needed a play, they came up with it every time this game. Even closing the game with that Ramique Wilson fumble and the recovery on the team. So special teams, hands down, if we didn't have the special teams day, we would not have won. So with that, we're going to flip it. We're going to talk the other side of this. We're going to play action ball. A little one close to the chest. Bring it out. Nope, buddy. You don't win it this time. James, who is your play action ball?
So play action ball, and only because I got it. I know I was a little tough on him 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to – actually, you did a whole unit. I'm going to go with the whole secondary on the defense.
Okay.
Because – you know, same mistakes are happening over and over again. Marcus Peters, he had a few tackles today, but he continues to get burnt. Aaron Rodgers had him a few times with the eyes, and just some of those tosses over both those guys' head, Peters and then Troy Hill, someone who, yes, he did have a pass deflect that was imperative during the game, but he was also getting burnt by Aaron Rodgers and his receivers. And, you know, it's just that was allowing them to open up the run game as well. It just really hurt this team as a whole and made it more of a progressive game for Green Bay. So, yeah, the secondary on defense is my play action ball. They need to step it up next game and get a little bit better on that coverage.
All right, James, my play action ball. These are tough. I'm going to go to the offense side of the ball. And this is – I almost hate doing this, but because it's not so much to them. But I'm going to go tight ends, but in specific to Tyler Higbee. I saw him miss a couple blocks where he left Todd Gurley hanging a little bit, where he kind of messed up the blocking scheme on the play. If he's going to be in there, he's going to be primarily a blocker at this point. So if he can't do that, then we're in big trouble. He only had 1 catch for 6 yards. He was targeted 1 time. He doesn't seem to be really a big imprint on this offense as far as production. Mm. Gerald Everett had 1 catch for 22 yards. He broke it down the sideline. I thought he actually might have a chance to break it to the end zone. I kind of say tight ends together, but that play by Gerald Everett at least kind of gives me like some effort and some flash of understanding, you know, the talent that Everett may have if given more opportunity. He only had two targets. Obviously, it all comes down to, we talk about McVay drawing these plays up and Jared Goff going through the reads, 1, 2, 3, 4 progression. And most likely those tight ends are at the end of the progression. And at the end of the day, it's Jared Goff who's pulling the trigger, but he just doesn't have the same relationship, it seems like, on the field that he did last year where he was trying to get the ball to Tyler Higbee. I know the offense may have changed and the play calls are a little different, but I think I want to see more from our offense on a day like this where our leading wide receiver has 5 catches, Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks didn't have a crazy number day as far as catches. Josh Reynolds had a great day as far as touchdowns, but again, 3 catches. Todd Gurley led the way with 6, but we need somebody else to step up. Like if it wasn't Gurley, or let's say Gurley goes out in this game, where are we going to turn to? We're going to need them to step in at one point and make an impact. Again, it wasn't today. So as we're looking at it, you covered the defense. I'll take this one for the offense. So I'm going to say the tight ends, but specifically Tyler Higbee. If you're going to be in there to block, you got to be able to do that at least. I need you to play better on the blocking side and then hopefully get more involved in the offense so we can move the football down the field a little bit.
Dude, this might be a random stat, but I believe this is the most carries that Jared Goff has had rushing. And I'm going to say his career with 5.
I loved it, though, because they were confident. Like, he rolled out a couple times, and I was like, just run with it. Just run with it. And he didn't hesitate.
He wants to be like Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you got to keep the play alive, and you got to move it. There were other times where, you know, I just like his decision-making, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up this episode and getting excited to move forward to facing Drew Brees and another elite quarterback. I saw some elite things from Jared Goff today. Yeah, he missed some throws. He was only 19 for 35. He threw for 295 yards. He had the 3 touchdowns. And he makes smart decisions. You saw Aaron Rodgers throwing away as he's getting sacked. Jared Goff did the same thing. I watched Red Zone earlier today. And Jameis Winston got pulled from a game because he just kept throwing the ball away. And he was throwing it into coverage. And there were times where it's like, all you got to do is throw it away, live to fight another down. And he tries to tuck it in there. He gets pulled from the game. Fitzmagic comes in, makes this crazy.
Fitzmagic is back.
He's back, man. There's a controversy over there. But I love with Jared Goff, so young in his career, to be able to step in and be smart in those situations where instead of taking the sack or instead of throwing it across the middle of the field to a guy you think is open or trying to force one in by the sidelines, he's just going to throw it up and over your head and get it out and live to fight another down. It's that type of stuff that I think McVay is really helping tutor him and really move him along in his progression as a quarterback. But I'm glad you said that because he had 5 rushes, but I loved them, each one of them, because they seemed like where he stepped up and was like, I got to make a move and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to sit here in the middle. Do I run? Do I throw? He made a decision. He went. So out of the 5 carries, a 1.4 average for 7 yards. We got to work on that. But overall, decision-making is what I loved out of that.
He was getting rushed, man. Like, he sat down in the pocket, and he continued to stay back there and trust his offensive line, which is very beneficial. But sometimes he had to run the ball, and it was nice to see that, well, not too awkward. It's not as awkward as his walk into the stadium. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter today, but it was so funny, dude. He was walking into the stadium with the straight-arm walk. It was probably because he had 400 cameras on him. That must be obnoxious. But
I love it. Yeah. The Goffinator coming into the stadium. He was focused, man. I loved your tweet. Retweeted it. Feel good. Guys, make sure to go give us a follow. Instagram, Twitter, Locked On Rams, Rams Podcast, JKroger3, LA_RamblingBear. Subscribe to the show. Share it. Come on Facebook. Join the group. We're giving away tickets to a Seahawks game. I got a bunch of other things lined up for you guys, so I appreciate everything. James, thanks so much for coming on the Victory Monday show. We are not prepared to do just a regular Monday show, so let's keep this going. 8-0, we've got the Saints next. They're on right now. We're going to go watch this game, and who are you cheering for then tonight?
Well, I think I'm in the doghouse with the advice I've given my wife on fantasy, so I really need Diggs to have a solid game. And honestly, I'd rather have Minnesota have a huge game because I went New Orleans after another loss, and just because we're facing them next week. So I'm just going Minnesota.
Guys, don't forget to check us out over at Rams Podcast. Probably be dropping about Wednesday, Thursday this week. We're going to do a full-on version. We're going to look ahead to that New Orleans game, break it down, what this matchup means. By that point, we'll know what the outcome is and what the records are going in, what everything means. How can we get to 9-0 and more? But with that said, you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time,
peace. you're dreaming. Soon as I step on the scene,